So as I said in the introduction, I want to reflect on mental health, but particularly I want to focus on depression and anxiety. And I hope you found that video about the black dog helpful, either helpful to understand what depression is like, or maybe you've been watching it and you suddenly the light bulb went on in your head and thought, do you know, I actually think that video might describe me and how I have been feeling. If you read the August newsletter, you will know that I wrote in there about my own mental health struggles that I have had and my sort of realization of my mental health problems, and particularly anxiety, which is one of the things that I wrestle with. And I suspect I've probably lived with anxiety for most of my life, but it's only recently that I've probably started to be honest with myself about that. And I realized that my anxiety levels were going up and up as we actually came out of the lockdown. I actually enjoyed the lockdown personally. I found that my anxiety levels actually dropped during that period. But as we came out of it, I realized that my anxiety levels were going up. And I suspect for people that how they experience anxiety or how you might experience depression and so forth will vary from person to person. But these are the symptoms that I have when I face anxiety. So one of the things I struggle with is sleep. Not so much getting to sleep, but what I do often find is that I might wake up in the middle of the night and can't get back to sleep. Or I would wake up incredibly early. And that's okay one or two times, but if that's cumulative, you start to feel very tired. For me, just that feeling of being totally overwhelmed, unable to cope, a constant nervousness, a constant gnawing away, anxiety, that feeling of being anxious all the time. Struggling to see things in a positive light, so it's so much easier to focus on the negatives and actually not see anything positive at all. Looking at ways to escape, to try and run away from the things that might be causing me to feel anxious and afraid. Physical tension in the body, it's almost like a knot in the sort of this sort of part of your chest that doesn't go away, you just have it constantly. And when the anxiety lifts, the only way I can describe it is like you've been underwater for a long period of time. And when the anxiety lifts, you come out of the water and you feel like you're gasping for air. And suddenly you realize, oh my goodness, this is what it's like to live feeling normal, not feeling anxious. It's like a huge weight has been lifted off you. And that's how anxiety affects me, and I'm sure others will have different experiences. Now, when I wrote that article in the August newsletter, I've had a number of people contact me, a number of people email me to thank me for writing that, but also sharing their own stories. By being honest and open about my struggles, I think it's given other people permission to share their struggles. And it highlights the fact that there are many people in our church family who are living with mental health issues. And that shouldn't be a surprise, because it is estimated that one in four people every year will experience some form of mental health problem. One of the leading mental health charities is Mind. And they said that in any given week in England, 8% of the population will suffer from mixed anxiety and depression. 6% will suffer from generalized anxiety disorder. 4% will suffer from post-traumatic stress disorder. 3% will suffer from depression. 2% will suffer from phobias. And 1% will suffer from obsessive-compulsive disorder. And they're the main mental health issues, although there are many others that people struggle with. And mental health problems were already on the increase in this country long before we ever heard about coronavirus. In fact, the number of people with mental health problems, both men and women, has increased by 20% between 1993 and 2014. And as a result of coronavirus, we are likely to see a huge spike in the number of people who are presenting with mental health problems as a result of what we have been through and what we are going to be facing as a country. Particularly as we see many people facing redundancy, and other issues surrounding coronavirus. Bruce Adamson, who is a Children and Young People's Commissioner for Scotland, gave an interview to the Guardian newspaper in July, and he said that lockdown measures in Scotland had had a catastrophic impact on children's mental health in Scotland. And he said that every child in Scotland will need additional mental health support as a result of the coronavirus. And Peter Rooney, who's the Chief Operating Officer for NHS North Cumbria, said last month that many people across Cumbria are going to face significant psychological stress as a result of coronavirus. So we know that as a country, the number of people who are experiencing mental health issues is likely to increase considerably in the coming weeks and months and years. And although we are getting better, I think, as a country, talking about mental health issues, we're still not brilliant at it. There is still, I'm afraid, a stigma that surrounds mental health. And we saw that in the video where the person was trying to cover up his black dog, trying to pretend everything was okay. Now, if someone's ill, if someone's broken an arm or someone's being treated for cancer or something like that, we feel okay to talk about those issues. But when it comes to mental health problems, we're still not, as a society, so good at talking about it. And particularly if you're male, men are especially bad at talking about their mental health issues. And I think within Christian circles there's a challenge as well, because I think there's a perception sometimes that if you're a Christian, if you have faith in Jesus, you shouldn't struggle with your mental health. You should be fine, and that it might reflect lack of faith in Jesus. So I actually think in church contexts, we're not very good talking about mental health, which is why it's so vitally important that we create safe spaces in church where we can talk about our mental health, because it will affect us either directly or indirectly at some point in life. And if you look at Scripture, you will see that there are many people in Scripture who themselves struggled with mental health issues. And I talked about this in the August newsletter, so if you've read the letter, apologies for repeating it now. But in Numbers chapter 11, Moses says this to God: "I cannot carry all these people by myself. The burden is too heavy for me. If this is how you are going to treat me, please go ahead and kill me." So Moses feels so overwhelmed by his circumstances that he's crying out to God, saying, "God, I cannot cope. I would rather die than have to face this task that you have given me." Moses despaired of life itself. He didn't want to carry on. And Professor Tom Wright, writing about Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, believes that Paul had a proper mental breakdown. Paul writes this in chapter 1 of 2 Corinthians: "We," that's Paul and Timothy, "do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about the troubles we experienced in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired of life itself." And Tom Wright believes that when Paul talks about despairing of life itself, Paul had a full-blown mental breakdown. He just could not face the future. He felt he could not cope because of the challenges he was facing. And more recently, Justin Welby, the Archbishop of Canterbury, admitted on BBC Radio 4's Thought for the Day that he has been seeking help for depression and is now taking antidepressants. And he said this: "I have a daughter who has been very open about her experiences of depression, and she's helped me see that it isn't something to be ashamed of. It's just life, and I got help." So Justin Welby, the Archbishop of Canterbury, has admitted his own struggles with depression. Now, I want to focus mainly on anxiety and depression, and I realise anxiety and depression are not the same things. They are different things, but they are the two mental health issues that are probably most prevalent in society. And there is no single cause for anxiety or depression. It can occur for many different reasons, and there can be many different triggers. For some people, it can be triggered by a stressful life event, such as bereavement, divorce, illness, redundancy, job, or money worries. For some people, it's often multiple factors. So it's not just one trigger, but multiple things that cause them to start to feel anxious or depressed. Often people talk about being on a downward spiral. It's just one thing after another that causes them to feel or become depressed. For some people, it's down to the lifestyle that they're leading. If there are certain lifestyles we can lead that are going to make us more susceptible to depression or anxiety or other mental health issues, alcohol, drugs, and things like that in particular. And genetics also plays a part in mental health issues. So if someone in your family has a mental health problem or depression, anxiety, you are more likely also to suffer from a mental health issue as well. And many scientists believe that certainly with depression, it's a result of a chemical imbalance within the brain. If I look at my family, my dad has struggled with depression and he takes antidepressants. My grandmother also, I believe, suffered from anxiety. And actually, I can see how it's passed down the generation from my grandmother. Now, in the case of my grandmother, the trigger for her was the suicide of her dad when she was only 6 years old. And she was the one who found him. And my grandmother was a very anxious person. And I can actually see how that has passed down. And actually, I think probably genetically has been passed down the generations. So there are multiple factors that can cause mental health issues. Now, I want to focus on some practical things that we can do to try and help ourselves if we are facing mental health issues. And the first thing I want to focus on are some really practical, simple things that we can do. You can find this on the internet if you search. And then I want to focus actually on our reading tonight, which I appreciate I've not come into yet, and look at some of the spiritual steps we can do to help ourselves. So what are the practical steps we can do to help improve our mental health? Well, the first thing we can do is we can take physical care of ourselves. So simple things we can do to make sure we eat well, make sure that we're eating plenty of fruit and vegetables, that we cut down on things like caffeine and alcohol. We need to take regular exercise, as was mentioned in that video, because exercise relieves tension and stress, it boosts physical and mental energy, and it enhances our well-being through the release of endorphins. And getting plenty of rest is also really important. And if you're someone who struggles in getting enough rest, again, there's lots of advice and tips out there on the internet to help you. There are some other things that can also help in terms of mental health. Connecting with people is proved to be one of the most effective things to help with depression and anxiety. Good relationships are really important. Being able to talk about your issues with people can also have a huge benefit. I certainly find that when I'm able to be open with people and tell people that I'm struggling, I find that helps me tremendously. As I say, a problem shared is a problem halved. Other things that have been proved to help improve mental health is learning new skills. So maybe learning to play an instrument or learning to speak a new language or something like that. That can help improve mental health because it boosts self-confidence and builds our sense of purpose. And the other thing that can really help is giving to other people. Research has shown that acts of kindness can improve mental health, creating positive feelings and a sense of reward, giving people a sense of self-worth, and again, helping people connect. So, you know, helping other people can really help your own mental health. Paul, in Acts chapter 20, writes this, "In everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak, remembering the words of the Lord Jesus himself. It is more blessed to give than to receive." It's more blessed to give than to receive. But the great thing of that is that actually when we give to others, when we help others, actually we receive so much more back in return. So if you're struggling with your mental health, looking for opportunities to be involved in things that are going on in the community, helping other people can really help you. And of course, if you do all those practical steps and you're still struggling, then go and speak to your local doctor, go and see your GP, because they can signpost you to people that might be able to give you additional help or support. So they're the practical things we can do. I just want to come out onto the spiritual guidance, the spiritual things that we can do that can help us. And in our reading from Philippians 4, Paul gives us what you might describe a prescription for anxiety and worry. And if you've got the Bible passage in front of you, it's Philippians chapter 4, beginning at verse 4, you might want to look at these words. So Paul begins by calling us to rejoice in the Lord. And just in case we don't get it the first time, he says it again, I will say it again, rejoice. Now, notice that this invitation that Paul gives is to rejoice always. Whatever the circumstances you are facing, Paul says we are to rejoice. But we are called to rejoice in the Lord. Now, when you are feeling anxious or depressed, often the last thing you feel like doing is rejoicing. But this call to rejoice is a call to shift our perspective. Paul is saying, shift your perspective onto Jesus. You know, one of the ways that anxiety works is that anxiety often encourages us to focus on the thing that we are most fearful or afraid about, or it causes us to focus on the things that we do not have, and we can fixate on those worries. And that's certainly how it works with me. You know, I have a problem, a situation, and I build it, and it grows and grows and grows. J. John, who's an evangelist in this country, said that fear, which is very similar to anxiety, said fear stands as false expectations appearing real. Fear is false expectations appearing real. And he said it's a little dark room where negatives are developed. So Paul is saying shift your focus onto Jesus. Why is this important? Well, it's important for a number of reasons. First of all, it reminds us about the sovereignty of Jesus. It reminds us that no matter what we are facing and no matter what we might be feeling, God is ultimately in control. Max Lucado writes this. He said, the most stressed out people are control freaks. The more they try to control the world, the more they realize they cannot. Life becomes a cycle of anxiety, failure, anxiety, failure, anxiety, failure. But when you recognize that heaven has an occupied throne, you allow the Lord to be in control. God then calms your fears, not by removing the problem, but by revealing his divine power and presence. Your anxiety decreases as your understanding of God, your Father, increases. So your anxiety decreases as your understanding of God, your Father, increases. So we shift our focus onto God and are reminded that God is sovereign. God is ultimately in control. Shifting our focus onto Jesus also is an encouragement for us to remember the promises of Scripture. And I would just encourage you, if you're feeling anxious or worried or afraid, open your Bible and look at the hundreds of promises that God gives us in Scripture. Here are just a few. So Isaiah chapter 41, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous hand. Exodus 14, the Lord will fight for you. Matthew 11, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. And Matthew 28, I am with you always. And it's so important that we hold on to these promises because the God we follow, the God we worship, is faithful. And when God promises, he will not break his promises to us. So when we shift our perspective, we're shifting our perspective onto the promises of God in Scripture. And when we shift our perspective, it also reminds us of who we are in Christ. It reminds us that I am loved, that I am forgiven, that I am a child of God, and that I'm more than a conqueror through him who loves me. And we don't always feel that, but shifting our perspective onto Jesus reminds us of our true identity. So the first thing we do is shift your perspective. Secondly, Paul says, present your requests to God. He goes on to write, the Lord is near. Now, when you are struggling, particularly with mental depression or anxiety, often it can feel as though God is very far away. God is very distant. But Paul's reminding us, God is near. In fact, the psalmist writes this, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He saves those who are crushed in spirit. So if tonight you are feeling brokenhearted, if tonight you are feeling crushed in spirit, The promise of Scripture is that the Lord is near you. He has not abandoned you or forsaken you. He is right alongside you. So Paul says, the Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. So in other words, keep praying, keep open that line of communication we have with God. And one third of the Psalms in the Old Testament are songs of lament. The psalmist wasn't afraid to tell God exactly how they were feeling about God and what they were going through. And in fact, actually, when you read the Psalms, you realize that sometimes the psalmist is in a place of real depression, a place of real darkness. And if you find it difficult to pray, then I would say use the Psalms as a means of helping you in your prayer life, because actually we can pray through the Scriptures, pray with the Scriptures, and realize that the psalmists face the same challenges, the same issues that many of us will face. And if you do find it difficult, if you find prayer hard, which it can be when you're feeling depressed and anxious, when I'm depressed and anxious, in fact, the last thing I feel like doing is praying. But if that's you, then ask someone else to help pray for you. But also use some form of daily prayer that might be available. So for example, about 3 years ago, when my dad went through quite a serious bout of depression, he said that praying the daily office, so the daily prayer that the Church of England produced, really helped him, because it gave him scripture verses and prayers to read and to pray through, even when he might have struggled with prayer. And Paul says, present your requests to God. It's an invitation to take to God everything that we're feeling, everything that we're experiencing, all the anxious thoughts, all the things we're feeling depressed and overwhelmed by. We're invited to take them to the Lord, remembering that God is faithful and God is so much greater than the troubles we face. And Paul says that we should do this with thanksgiving. And thanksgiving, again, helps shift the focus away from ourselves and onto God. It helps us count our blessings. In fact, again, one of the things that's said to help with worry and depression and so forth is keeping a gratitude journal, where each day you might jot down the things that you are grateful for. So it might be a phone call from a friend or a beautiful sunset. It might be watching your favorite program on TV. It doesn't have to be a big thing, but just writing down the things each day that you are grateful for can again really change your thought pattern, the way your mind operates. So thanksgiving shifts our focus onto God and teaches us to learn to be grateful for what we do have rather than things that we don't have. Because the anxious heart says, Lord, if only I had this or that or the other, then I would be okay, then things would be better. Whereas the grateful heart says, Lord, you've already given me this and that and the other. Thank you so much for your blessings. And thanksgiving reminds us that in Jesus, we ultimately have everything that we need. And I would also say that taking our requests to God, linked to that, is the importance of continuing to worship God. Do not neglect worship. That famous passage in Hebrews chapter 10 says this: let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another. And I do know people that sometimes when they're facing mental health issues, it's so easy to just neglect worship. And I realize it can be hard coming into a church, especially when you're really struggling. That's why it's important we create a culture, an environment where we can share and we can be honest and real with one another. But it's important we do not neglect worship, because when we come to worship God, we're reminded of who God is. We're reminded of his sovereignty. But also, we're created to be in relationship. And when we worship God together, we have that support, that relationship with one another. And actually, I think the hardest thing for people during the coronavirus has been the difficulty of the intimacy of relationships. You know, we've been doing stuff online, but that's still not the same as being able to physically meet and hug and share our lives together. So when we come to worship, we're not only connecting with God, we're connecting with one another. And worship is the affirmation of who God is. And that doesn't change whatever our circumstances. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Paul says that if we rejoice in the Lord always, if we present our requests to the God, the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And I think ultimately what Paul is saying is he's inviting us to abide in Jesus, abide in Christ. And if you're sitting there thinking, well, I've tried all those things, but I'm still struggling, then what I would say is just keep on persisting, keep on pressing into God. Don't give up. Don't lose hope. I just want to finish with these two quotes. First one is Stanley Jones. Stanley Jones writes this. He said, "I'm inwardly fashioned for faith, not fear. I'm fashioned for faith, not fear. Fear is not my native land. Faith is. I am so made that worry and anxiety are sand in the machinery of life. Faith is the oil. I live better by faith and confidence than by fear, doubt, and anxiety. In anxiety and worry, my being is gasping for breath. This is not my native air. But in faith and confidence, I breathe freely. This is my native air." J. John puts it this way. He says, "Feed your faith, and ultimately your fears will starve to death." So all of us, whether we feel we're struggling at the moment emotionally or spiritually, we're encouraged to feed our faith, put our trust in Jesus. Amen.